Sigrid thinks that she has met her perfect match with the charming and handsome Christian. But there is one catch. He lives with a man who acts like his pet dog, dressed up like a dog. Trying to be open-minded, Sigrid continues this relationship, but soon notices an insidious undertone to Christian. Maybe puppy play isn't as innocent as it seems, as Sigrid realizes she must fight for her life in this terrorizing tale, and beautiful, but that it takes cosplaying and furry play to a whole new level. This film is Good Boy, and it is opening in theaters on demand and everywhere on September 8th. Everybody, welcome to the show. So glad to have all of you.
Thank you.
Yes, and to our viewers, welcome back to the sixth season. Season number six of The Scare Guy, coming to you from the dark and sinister heart of Hollywood, California. And this week, also from the East Coast here in South Carolina, as we hunkered down for the little bit of the hurricane that's going to be coming through. And for those of you who watch us, you know that we are the scarier side of the Con Guy, and whereas the Con Guy covers everything in the Comic-Con universe, the Scare Guy gets a bit spookier. My name is Jim, one of your horror hosts tonight, and I'm joined by my equally deranged partner in crime, Luke.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Cheeseman, a screenwriter, and one of the Scare Guys.
And we are so excited today to be talking with the director of Good Boy. His name's Vilgar Bo. And I apologize. These are Norwegian names that they sound great, but I am very poor at always getting right. And the actors in the film, Gard Loke and Katrine Lovez. If you guys can please correct how I'm saying these so everybody can know exactly how to say it. All three of you, welcome to the show tonight. We are so glad to have you. And if we can, we have a short amount of time, so we're going to start right up front with the director, Vilgar. Can you kind of just set the stage for our viewers and our listeners and kind of tell them a little bit about Good Boy and what they can expect?
I think, you know, expect the unexpected, I guess you could say. I think this is a film where the less you know, the better. And I think it's the movie you should try to watch with an open mind and know as little as possible. But be ready to maybe laugh some, be a little bit unsettled, and hopefully be entertained.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I didn't know what to expect. The trailer, when I first saw the trailer, and for those of you who haven't seen the trailer, yeah, go look at the trailer. It shows the main actress, Katrina, as she, the name of the characters. Can you guys tell us a little bit, Gard and Katrina? Katrina, start with you. Tell us a little bit about your character, and then Gard, if you can tell us about Christian. Katrina?
Well, I'm playing the character Sigrid, and she is a young girl coming from a place, her parents are divorced, and she's struggling to have ends meeting, and I think she is a person just looking for love and connections and finding something to hold on to and struggling to, in a way, find herself and where she wants to belong in this world. She is meeting Christian on a date, and things happen.
Boy, do they happen. All right. If you can tell us a little bit about Christian, what a juicy part. What a really cool part that probably any actor would love to play. Tell us a little bit about this character.
Absolutely love to play him. So his name is Christian Iversen. He's the son of a very rich man, and his parents are deceased. So he lives alone in a villa with a dog that is a person in a dog costume. And he seems like a really sympathetic, maybe on a bit of a shy side, like a thinker. And I think he tries to fight for giving love and receiving love in his way, maybe on the balance of control. And I think with the funds that he has, the millions of dollars, he has created a world of his own, not needing to interact with the real one.
Mm-hmm. Jeez, man. Luke.
Awesome. So can you just tell us a little bit about the origins of coming up with the story and kind of the process of writing the script?
Yeah, because Vilger, this is an odd story. I mean, it's a grown man who has another man in a dog suit, and then he goes on a date, and his date somehow accepts this as okay. We'll go with this. It was a beautiful story, but we got to say it's pretty bonkers. It is a pretty bonkers story. Tell us about where this came from.
Yeah, so I had this image of a person in dog costume for quite a long time, but I didn't really have the plot initially. And then when I started thinking about a person in dog costume, I started thinking about what type of person would own that type of dog. And then I thought to myself, you couldn't have a normal person with a normal job, living in an apartment. It wouldn't work. You'd need to have somebody with a lot of funds who's able to make their own environment and a big space. So that's then I found out it had to be somebody with a lot of wealth who were able to make this work. And then when I started thinking about a wealthy person, I started thinking about 50 Shades of Grey and how it's about a wealthy person with a dark secret, kind of similar to Christian with his dog, who meets a girl and he has some sinister stuff with him, but it turns out that it turns into a much softer person during the film. And I want to do like a twist on that. So those two, that's at least how the process of developing the script started, those two elements.
Luke.
Awesome. Now, there was definitely kind of like a short mention of like watching a Hitchcock movie, and the Christian character had a little bit of that like Norman Bates kind of vibe to him, because super friendly, but then there's another side to him. Was there a little bit of that influence involving that, or any kind of Hitchcock influence in the film?
Sadly, I haven't watched too many Hitchcock, other than perhaps a little bit Vertigo, how that film kind of just changes focus halfway in a way. I think like that type of structure is something that I'm very interested in, which kind of inspired the structure of Good Boy in a way. Yeah.
Now, Christian, did you have any kind of like influences on kind of your character in developing him?
It's Guard, playing Christian, yeah.
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 Christian character, I mean, yeah. Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, we believe it so much, you're Christian now.
Yeah. Thank you. He still has always said it's a dog. He has not crossed that line and said it's not a dog yet. So
we're still never a
character. Yeah. Yeah.
Sit. I have a lot of influences just as being an actor. I think one of my biggest influences is Mads Mikkelsen, and I draw lines to The Hunt, mm-hmm. which portrays a character that is deeply misunderstood. So that will be my answer for now, so I don't talk too much.
Yeah, we don't want to give away too much of the story, because there are twists in the story that really make it super interesting. But it also is on its surface, it's kind of like a beautiful love story, it's simple, it's beautiful, and the scenes are just really, the cinematography is beautiful. Can you talk about where you shot this film?
Yeah, so one of the places we shot it was here. So this is where I'm at right now, is the cabin.
You're in the creepy house. You're in the creepy house.
I'm in the creepy house. Yeah. And then, so when I wrote the script, I tried to, make it in a way so I knew I had access to these locations. One of the perhaps things that we didn't have that was kind of, it was the big villa, if you want to portray a millionaire, you kind of have to have a lot of funds. But luckily we knew somebody who lived in a pretty big old house. At first we kind of wanted it to be more like a modern house, but that kind of changed when we found this cool old house, and which then kind of informed Christian's character with him, you know, kind of living in the past and having inherited money and having his deceased parents. And actually, fun fact, that location is actually where the national anthem was written, the Norwegian national anthem.
Oh, okay.
So that's a little trivia on that. So, yeah. So it was important to find location. Also, you know, we used only natural lighting, so it was important to find locations that was naturally beautiful and had windows and access to ways to light the scene that wasn't, you know, film lights, because we wanted to have a more of a natural, a little bit documentarian look.
Cool. Yeah, and I think that works really well, like as fellow filmmakers and screenwriters, you know, like I always find myself drawn more to what feels more natural in real life, and especially with the lighting. So now, Katrine, like this is like an interesting role for you to play or take on. I'm sure you had your initial thoughts just reading it. I was like, whoa, like, so what were your like initial thoughts like taking on this role and then playing it? Did you just kind of like let the interaction with the dog and other stuff just feel real to you, or like how did you kind of go about your process acting?
Yeah, well, my first meeting with this process was the audition, and there I had a romantic scene so of course I thought it was a romantic comedy at first. And when I got a call back for the second round, I got to read the whole script. And I have to say, I got a little bit surprised about where this romantic comedy turned out to go. But it was a pleasant surprise, though, because it shows how like much creative space Vilja has, and he is breaking some film laws in a way with this. And it was very intriguing to see how much we could play with this role as well and with this film. And when it comes to the dog, it was really weird because we have talked about it a lot between us, but it's really interesting how quickly you get used to something in a way. So it's kind of scary having this person in this behind this mask and trusting that they are okay, because they did really work hard. There were two persons playing their dog, but being like, are you all right, is this all right for you that I'm behaving towards you like if you were a dog? But at the same time, it's like you accept it so quickly, and I think that's also some part of Sigrid. And as also the audience in a way, that since you can't see the human inside, you kind of in a way just see the dog after a while. So it was a really weird experience, and I just have to applaud a lot for the person's playing Frank.
Now, just real quick with the costume, and you know, like with horror and other stuff, like, the costume is kind of what like makes it unique, and you have to kind of make it unique so it feels original to the movie. Can you tell us about kind of how you went about finding this dog costume and developing that?
Yeah. So for us, when we kind of designed the costume, we decided that we didn't want to take any specific, like we didn't want to look at any specific dog breeds. We kind of just wanted Frank to be its own dog in a way. And then it was also, you know, it's of course it's supposed to look like a dog, but it's kind of supposed to not look like, it's supposed to be like an uncanny valley where, like, you know, you recognize it's supposed to be a dog, but you know, it's definitely not a dog. There's something off about it. And then we also discussed if it should be a mask or if it should be, you know, makeup where you could see the human's face. But we decided early on that it was important that Frank had a mask, so you couldn't really tell if he was happy or sad or scared or anything through his facial expressions. So then the audience was kind of forced, and Sigrid and the other characters were forced to kind of project their own thoughts and feelings onto the dog.
Mm-hmm. Let me follow up with that with Gard and Katrine. You guys, your acting really, it's a big leap for the audience to accept this. It really is. And a little bit of this is a little bit outside reality, of course. But your acting, you guys really made it seem like it worked. It worked. Can I ask you, in real life, if this situation was presented to either of you in real life, how would you respond, do you think? Katrine first and then Gard.
Well, it's really weird because I've never been in such a situation before, but I think something in me would be like, this is so fascinating. I want to know more in a way. So like having a lot of questions, like just, I'm not sure, but at the same time, it's like when you are not familiar with something and it's, then you're kind of like, okay, I should go away. And but I think I'm kind of the person that would like to stay and just, what is going on? Why are you behaving? What is this? It's intriguing in a way.
So you're basically saying you probably wouldn't feel in danger. You'd be more curious than kind of, I mean.
Yeah, I think I would be more curious. Because in a way, it's like, it's a weird situation, of course, but at the same time, that it's not, there's not any proof of any danger. Like, it's something abnormal, but it could be fine. So why shouldn't it be?
And Gard, what about you?
Hard question. We'll see when it happens.
And so for our viewers who are watching,
what costume? What are you talking about, Jim?
Well, it did happen. And so for the viewers who are watching, who might be thinking, "Huh, this sounds more like a comedy." There are some comedic moments, but I do want to assure everybody: the film does it gets very, very tense, very scary, and it deals with subjects of stalking, isolation, obsession, and it gets extremely scary. So can I ask both Gard and Katrine, how did you guys prepare for the emotional intensity of especially the last third of the film when it gets heavy, super scary, super thriller? So how did, and maybe Gard first, because your character, I don't want to give any away, but your character does take a turn for a different type of character. So how'd you prepare for that?
Well, a lot of preparation. It is a huge part of my work, having control over emotions and using them in some way. But one thing that was really important for me was to establish a sense of trust, especially between me and Katrin Lovisa and Nikolai, which played the dog. So that and anybody in the crew as well, so that I felt safe of portraying my emotions as Christian, because I have a range of them and they don't show if I don't feel safe. So the environment on set was really important, and the talks we had after. I spent some time even calling back to my family, just keeping in touch with reality and being able to step out of the role when the scenes are over were really important for me.
And Katrine?
Yeah, same. The trust between me and God was really, really important. And also having Biljade taking care of us, and we could trust him that he was getting what he wanted, and then also that he trusted us to manage to do this. And it was also very nice that getting to know Gard outside of him playing Christian, because then it was, when we were ending the shoot, we could give each other a hug and just connect to the real world again. And being able to feel freely and creative, I think that was the most important for me. And so, of course, prepare for it, knowing the situation's good, or as good as you can.
And Luke, we are at our time. Luke, do you have one last quick question that they could answer quickly, or?
Yeah, just I just want to say too, like, I appreciate kind of like the theme. Like, if we had more time, I would want to talk about, like, there's a lot of people out there would probably overlook stuff if someone's like a millionaire or they're good looking, and look over these red flags and go into that. And that was very kind of clear at the beginning when she's talking to her friend, like, oh, well, he's a millionaire, he's successful, all that kind of thing. So that was really cool how you put that theme, which I would have loved to talk about more. But is there going to be any kind of blooper reel or other kind of thing? Like, I'm sure you guys had some moment you guys cracked.
Spanking the dog with the newspaper.
Yeah. No, just...
I'm not sure. I think, you know, it's very, because we shot, I think, nearly like we shot so that nearly everything that's in the film is nearly what we shot. We shot very concise, I think. So I'm not sure if we brought, I remember actually one scene, a random scene, the scene where they're kind of just looking out and at the view, two dogs came up to us and started running around randomly. So that's, I guess, one funny thing that happened during when we filmed, which was kind of random because it was a private place. So that person, they weren't actually supposed to be there. So it was kind of funny.
Well, we do have to wrap up, Gard and Katrine. Fantastic performances. And Vildur, you're only, is it 25 years old?
Yeah. Just turned 26. Yeah.
All right. Well, anyways, quite an accomplishment for such a young filmmaker. Spielberg was very young when he did Jaws. Well, so we just want to say congratulations. Hopefully we'll be seeing a lot more from you guys. That the film is Good Boy. It's in theaters September 8th and also on digital and on demand September 8th from Sabin Films. Everybody, thank you for joining us today on the Scare Guys Show. We hope to see a lot more from all of you.
Thank you so much. Nice talking to you.
Thank you so much.